Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. How's it going? Let me know if you can hear me in the chat because I just looked down at my cord for my microphone and there's little teeth marks on it, which means that my cat has been on my desk. Like the cat is enjoying my microphone. So let me know if you can hear me. Give me a little thumbs up, a little emoji, a little something, something. Oh, thank you. The cat must not. I might need to put some tape around it. Those damn cats. Me and Corinne with our cats. All right. Make sure that if you are in the chat, you are talking to everyone, not just host and panelists. I am Coach MJ. I'm the head coach here. I am the member journey director here. And for those of you who don't know, I had rotator cuff surgery. I still have until the 14th of November in this contraption that I'm wearing. So, if you are new here, also welcome, welcome, welcome. So, if you're new here, remember always that your first job inside of No BS, your first assignment, should you choose to accept it, well, you should choose to accept it, is to go through the No BS weight loss course. That is the foundation of everything that we do here. If you've got time to be on this call and don't have time to listen to No BS for the rest of the day, hop off of this call and go listen to the weight loss course. And then this replay will drop. You can watch it on the video replays page. You can listen to it in your podcast. So you're not missing anything, but we want to make sure that you're listening to the No BS weight loss course. All right. Enough said. All right. Today it's open coaching. Corinne is not here. She went to see her Tennessee Vols win last night. The Gamecocks won yesterday. It's a good day. Me and Corinne are both happy. So we're going to talk a little bit about food pushers because we have been, you know, we had the holiday workshop, holiday weight loss, lose 10 pounds by January 1st. We have done that. And then this month, there will be several calls. We were talking about mostly on Wednesday on Corinne's calls, but there are a couple of Sundays that we're going to dig into things that we see inside the membership all the time. Things that we see in Facebook and Ask Coaches, just reports from members, what we coach on all the time during the holiday season. And one of the big ones that you always talk about are food pushers. Okay. So I'm going to talk about food pushers. I'm actually going to pull up some notes a little bit because I want to make sure I say everything I'm wanting to say. And we are going to make sure that we get to getting. Oh, here it is. I was like, where are my notes? Here they are. I found them. All right. So a lot of times food pushers sound very scary. Like it sounds demanding. It sounds like you don't have a choice. It sounds, you know, it just doesn't sound like you've got any choice in the matter whatsoever. But here is exactly when we think about food pushers, we think they're being unfair. They don't want me to succeed. They don't support me. They're making it harder for me. Does anybody have those thoughts when you're somewhere and somebody's like, here, have some, just a little bit. Taste this. I made it special. And we have all of those terrible thoughts. Unfair, don't want me to succeed, not bought into my success, trying to sabotage me, making it so hard for me. But I'm going to tell you today, here's what food pushers actually are. They are people who offer you food. That's it. Want some? When they do that, I think about it like tennis. You know, my son-in-law is a tennis pro, so I use tennis. I think about it like tennis. You walk in and they offer you food. Do you want some? Now they have hit the ball over the net. The ball is now officially in your court and you have a decision to make. So a food pusher offers you food and they also offer you a decision to make right then. And the choice is yours. In that moment, you can say yes, no, later, let me take it home, whatever it is. It is now, you're the one now that has all the power. They've asked the question, and you get to respond in any way that you want to. When somebody offers you food, here is what they're doing. First of all, they're being polite. Whether you're walking into the break room, whether you've gone over to somebody's house for whatever reason, whether your neighbors have made you a fantastic cookie tray, they're just being nice. They're just like, I bet she would want some. I'm not going to sit here and eat and not offer it to somebody. They are showing you love. I just saw in the chat a few people come by. That's people's love languages. I spent my time making this so that you can enjoy it. I'm going to show you my love for you, my care for you, my respect for you by offering you something that I made or that I bought or that I put money and time into. And then the other thing is they're doing what we trained them to do. Because every time in the past, this happened to me whenever I first started losing weight. If my husband didn't offer me something, I would be pissed. If he would come into the kitchen with, he don't eat ice cream, whatever, some chocolate or something, he would come into the living room and he doesn't offer me any, I'm pissed. Now he's got an angry wife on his hands. So he learned over 20 years, you better ask her if she wants some. Because if not, you're going to have a bad evening. So that is why it is so important to realize that a lot of times it is just what we've taught them to do with us. And so they're going with the way that we program them. They're doing what keeps them out of trouble. Yes. So, why is it important to lose weight? To think about this ahead of time, because we do want to think about it now. We don't want to think about it at Thanksgiving or when you walk into the break room. To lose weight, people are going to offer you food from now to the day you die. We've got to figure out how to handle that without getting pissed, offended, angry, and eating just to be like, well, fuck them. I don't care. We have got to figure out how to navigate that. That's the only way that we're going to lose weight. And I have two really good, I'll do it really quick. Y'all, a lot of times have seen me talk about my very first Valentine's Day in No BS. This is the training one. So they have these salted caramel brownies at Amelie's Bakery, which is amazing. And I love them very much. And so my husband on Valentine's Day, it was on a Thursday, the year that I joined No BS, and I always weighed in on Friday. We had plans to go out with people on the weekends, so I did not want like a treat. I was like, I don't need the brownies. So I went to my husband that morning, and I said, Mike, I know you are probably thinking about stopping by Amelie's and getting me a salted caramel brownie. I don't want it. I'm losing weight. I'm weighing in tomorrow. We already have plans. I don't want any. But there's my dog behind me. But I appreciate it. I just don't want any. So I go through my day. He comes home that evening with the box from Amelie's after I had already had a conversation with him. I had three beautiful brownies, salted caramel brownies. They are delicious, by the way. Whoever put salt and caramel together should win a Nobel Peace Prize because it brings me peace every time I eat caramel with salt on it. And I was like, what are you doing? Didn't I just tell you this morning I did not want this? I said, I'm trying to lose weight. Do not bring me any. I start getting pissed. And he was like, well, I thought about like in the past, like you always say, no, don't get me anything. And then I come home and then you're mad. So he was like, I thought about it. And I was like, well, if I don't bring her something, she's gonna be mad. But then she said, if I do bring her something, she's gonna be mad. And he was like, I was gonna be mad either way. But it's always in the past been, if I didn't bring it to you, you'd be more mad. So now I've brought it to you. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. I had trained him. You either bring me something or I'm be mad at you. And then one time I tell him, don't bring it to me. And he's got all this past evidence of my pissiness when he didn't bring it to me. So he went with what he knew. It's the only thing he had known, he was like, I better bring it to him. He was so confused. He was so confused. So I was like, you know what? I see what you're saying. So I put it up and then I, planned it for later. And then the other story I have, which I'm sure y'all can relate to this, my Mimi. Everybody got a Mimi. She's actually my aunt. She makes, she not anymore. God love her. She's in assisted living, but she would cook. Her house was in town, and we always, if we had to pee, we'd go by Mimi's house because that's where we could pee. And she would always have food and basically cakes and cookies. And she makes pecan pies, and she is famous for her pecan pies, famous to us for her pecan pies. So I came over one day, I just stopped by her house, and she had pecan pie. And I was losing weight, and I was trying not to, eat when people would offer me food. If I wasn't hungry and it wasn't planned, and blah, blah, blah. So I come in and she had a pie. She, oh, you're just in time. They call me Joni. Joni, it's so good to see you. You're just in time. I just made a pecan pie. Come here and have a piece with me. And all of a sudden, my brain went, I'm going to hurt Mimi's feelings. I have to have this. If I don't have this, she's going to be so upset. I'm gonna hurt her feelings. She always opens her house for me. And now here I am. I'm gonna tell her no. She is gonna be so upset. But I was like, you know what? Y'all know my thing. Hashtag bitch got goals. I did not say that to her, but I was like, I'm gonna step out on faith and fear and everything else. I'm gonna tell her. And I said, Mimi, I love your pecan pie. I am just not hungry right now. Could you pack me up a piece? And maybe if you could pack one up for Mike too. And when I get hungry tonight, so we can really enjoy it. And she said, yes, I will. So she packed it up. And before I got home, she had gotten the phone tree, the family phone tree going. And instead of saying, Joni didn't want my pie, Joni refused to eat my pie. She must not love me, which is what I thought the conversation was going to be. Do you know what the conversation was? Joni loves my pie so much. She wanted to take it home so she could enjoy it. She loves it that much. I bet she loves it better than y'all. My biggest fear, because I decided in that moment I was gonna try it. It didn't hurt her feelings at all. As a matter of fact, she felt more loved. Now that's not gonna happen every time, but if I was scared to step out and say no and advocate for myself and what I wanted, I would have never have known. That would have made her feel even better. So there are things that come up and we're scared to try them and we don't want to try them. We're scared to have the conversation with our spouse. But the truth of the matter is, you're going to have some conversations in order to figure out what is, first of all, what is even true. Because Corinne talked about truth last time. We have these stories that we on last Sunday, but we have all these stories that we make up. They're not even true. They're just thoughts in our head that we really believe are true, and they may not even be true to begin with. Because the truth of the matter is, people think a lot less of us, about us, spend less time thinking about us than we give them credit for. Just like we don't spend near as much time thinking about other people. A lot of times when we have thoughts, it's about how does it affect us personally. So just give yourself an opportunity to have the conversation, to try to do something a little bit different when you're dealing with food pushers, or we could just call them food offerers, you know? So there are three ways to deal with food pushers, three ways to do this. Are y'all ready? Have a conversation, which is what I just described. In both instances, I had a conversation. One time, somebody still brought me the food. The other time, they were fine with it. I just took it with me. Have a conversation. Next, say no. And there are so many ways to say no. And my challenge to you is to write down all the ways you can say no. Like with my aunt, I said, I would love it, but let me pack it up so that I can eat it when I'm hungry. That was a no. That was a no, I don't want it right now, but let me take it home. There's also just no, thank you. I'm not hungry right now. There are so many ways to say no in a lovely way. Other than, no, bitch, don't you know I'm trying to lose weight? Why would you even ask me? In our head, that's what we think it's going to come out like. But for especially for us that are in no BS, oh my gosh, I am so not hungry right now, but I want to enjoy this. Can I take it home? Can I take some with me? Or if it's in the break room and you can't take it with you, be like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known this was here. I just finished lunch. They don't need to know that you didn't just finish lunch. They don't even know, need to know if you're a little bit hungry and it looks delicious, but you're going to go back to your desk and eat your planned snack. They don't need to know that. You just say no in a way that makes you feel comfortable. And then notice. So, like in my husband's instance, notice when they don't offer you food, especially for our trainees that we have trained. And give them that positive feedback when they don't offer you food. So if you're sitting there with your husband eating dinner, eating ice cream every night, and you say, one lady is a great example. I wish I could remember her name, but she's taken a week off of alcohol. She decided to take a week off for alcohol. She it actually talked to her husband. He's decided to do it for a week with her, all because of a conversation. And she has journaled and thought and didn't want to hurt feelings. And she was like, you don't have to do this with me. It's just something I really want to do. And then she said, if you do have a drink and you feel like you want to offer me something, offer me some seltzer. She offered him ways to win and just different things like that. But he decided to do it with her. Let's say he didn't want to do it with her. He didn't want to do it with her, and then he sat down with wine and he brought her a seltzer. Then she could say, I'm so glad that you're, I appreciate you listening to me. I said I didn't want wine this week, and I said you could bring me a seltzer. I just appreciate that so much. And then with my husband, the next time he stepped out on faith and didn't bring me something when I said, don't bring me something, it's my job then to say, I appreciate you listening to me. I said I didn't want it. You didn't bring it. I'm not mad. I appreciate you. So let them know, especially the food trainees, right? You got to, you know, you just have to, you have to train them in a different way, right? If you spent 15 years training them, you know, we're gonna have to spend a little bit more time training them. Oh, Lisa, she's from Southeast Charlotte. I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina. We neighbors. So there are different kinds of food pushers. And I'm going to talk about them just a little bit and talk about different ways that we can say no. This first one is the food forcer. So some people are a little bit more persistent with their food pushing ways. This was my Yolanda at work when I worked at the nursing home, who always drove by the Krispy Kreme. And if the hot now sign was on, she would bring in Krispy Kreme donuts to work, and they were hot. And I was losing weight. And she literally would bring, you want a donut? Nope, I don't want a donut. I'm good. And then she would come over to where I was and she was like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm sure. I don't want a donut. I'm not hungry. I don't want a donut. Then she would come back over with the box open and literally put it under my nose and say, smell them. Smell how good they look. Finally, y'all are not all like me, but finally I said, why don't you have mine and I'll wear my pants tomorrow and you can wear my donut? Because I was so pissed at her. But except for the pants part, that's a great way to handle the food pusher. It looks so good. I appreciate you. I just don't want it right now. Why don't you have mine? You eat mine. I don't want mine. The only thing when you think about the food forcer, they are just a persistent food offerer. And why was she offering food? Who knows? Who knows why she wanted so desperately for me to eat a damn donut? I have no idea. Never will know. Maybe she didn't want to feel bad. Like maybe I was losing weight and she wasn't. Who knows? I have no idea why she would offer it to me, but it's just a persistent food offerer. So sometimes you do have to say no multiple times. How often, how many times are you willing to say no? I don't want it right now. I'm not hungry. I appreciate it, but I don't want it. You can have mine. Just be willing to say no over and over and over again. The no refuser. So this is like the food pusher that the food, what I call them, forcer, but to a different level. Think about, you know, your mom. A lot of times I feel like the food no refuser is somebody closer in our lives. I know this is your favorite, but I made it just for you. Why don't you want it? Are you sick? Is something wrong? Does it not taste good? I didn't, it's the same recipe I've been making every year. Are you sure you're okay? You used to love this. Has something happened? Why don't you want this? That to me is like the, I will not take no for an answer person. And again, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just, you know what? I'm trying to listen to my body and my body says I've had enough. Or I appreciate it so much, but right now I just could not eat another bite and I want to enjoy it. Just like I told Mimi, could you package this up and let me take some with me? That's a good way to handle the food, the no refuser. And then the gourmet gift giver, the neighbor that always shows up with those beautiful cookies, right? In a lot of the instances, these people are not close in our lives. The gift giver person that's given the food, maybe it is at work and somebody brings you a tin of popcorn, gourmet popcorn. That was always big at the nursing home when I was there. They don't know what you've done with it. So a lot of times you can just accept it and give it to someone else or throw it away. They just wanted to see that you received their gift, that you appreciated their gift. You could look at the tray of cookies from your neighbor and pick out a couple that you really love, throw the rest away, plan the cookies for tomorrow, then be like, oh my gosh, I ate those cookies. They were the most amazing things and beautiful too. I can't believe how beautiful they are. You really do have a gift. There are so many ways to deal with it. And then finally, the courteous caterer. When you go to somebody's house, and they just are offering you food. That's their job as a hostess. That's not them like trying to undermine you. They're just being nice. Here, have some. Won't you have some? I made this. Have a little bit. It's their job as a hostess to offer you shit. And again, then the ball is in your court. And a lot of times we put this, we forget when it's on the other foot. So we go to the party. And somebody's, you know, passing around a tray or whatever, or, you know, we have the island. There's always food on the island. I'm like, oh, help yourself. The food is right there. Let me get you a plate. You have everything you need because, you know, I'm nice. And that's what it's supposed to be. I want you to think about when you host somebody at your house. We've all hosted people at our house. All of us, pretty much. We've offered them something and they said no. No, thank you. I'm not hungry right now. I appreciate it. I don't want any right now. What did we think? What were we thinking in that moment? Because in our head, what they're thinking is, that bitch don't want to eat my food. That's rude. But if we're hosting and somebody's like, no, thank you, we don't even give it another thought. We're like, okay, we move on to the next person. That's what's going on in their head too. That's what they're thinking as well. Same thing we think when somebody says no to us, when we're just passing around a plate of stuffed mushrooms or a slider. We don't sit around at the end of the night going, that MJ, if she would have eaten, the party would have been better. But you know, I tried to give her a damn stuffed mushroom and she wouldn't even take it, bitch. Whole party was ruined. We don't think that. And neither do they. They probably, after you say no and they've moved on to the next person, had another conversation, they ain't thought about it another time. They ain't thought about it at all. And we need to remember that when we're going through this holiday season. And then, you know, finally, we do have the treat trainee. I think we've talked about them enough when we have trained them and we have to go back and have the conversations and retrain them. So that is what I have to say about food pushers. Any questions? I see a couple in the Q&A about, oh, maybe there's not. Maybe there is. Maybe there's not. Maybe there is. Angie says, in our family, what do you mean you don't want any? I mean, I don't want any. Right? I went to all this work just for you because it's one of your favorites. And you're going to sit there and tell me you don't want any? You are so selfish. Yeah, I don't want any. I'll take some with me. I'm just not hungry right now. I mean, are you willing to say that? And you could even go a step further. Listen, I'm not being selfish. I love this. You're exactly right. One of my favorites. I look forward to it every year. But right now, I'm trying to lose weight, which you've probably tried to lose weight more than once. They understand it. And just say, I'm not hungry right now. If I get hungry in a little bit, I'll have some. But I'm just not hungry right now. Angie said she's dead now, so I don't have to worry about it. The way the convo would have gone. Yes, because part of it too, Angie, is we've trained them. You offer me food, and then what do? I eat it and I gush back at you. Oh my God, this is so good. It's good every year. What are we going to do when you're gone and we can't have this anymore? This is the best stuff. That's why they're pushing food. They want the payoff that you've given them for so long. Can you give them the payoff without taking the food? I do look forward to this every year. You are right. It is my absolute favorite. But this year, I'm going to be hungry when I eat it because I want to enjoy it because it is my favorite. That's another way that you can put it. You're absolutely right. I look forward to this every single. It's the highlight of my year. Oh, what says it switched my microphone? But I don't think it did. That's so weird. Huh. All right. A bit also. Why does Corinne say we won't lose weight without drinking our 64 ounces of water? I'm struggling with both losing and drinking 64 ounces of water. It makes it a lot more difficult. So for me, when I joined No BS, this is so good. This is so important during the holidays too, y'all. Water goes hand in hand with weight loss. Why is that? Number one, it cuts down on your cravings because a lot of times our bodies will send up a hunger signal saying, hey, you're hungry because you ain't giving me water all day. So at least if I send up a hunger signal, maybe you'll feed me and I can get some kind of water out of the damn food you're going to give me. If you won't give me water, give me something. And so it sends up a cue for food. So a lot of times when you are hungry, it is a lot more difficult to figure out what hunger is because your body is literally just wanting some water, which is one reason we do the on the clock. So you drink, you think you're hungry, drink 16 ounces of water, and then wait, 15, 20 minutes, see if you're even hungry. That's a great way to do it and to get your water in. When I first started, I drank no water whatsoever. It took me probably about 6 to 8 weeks to get up to 64 ounces. I couldn't just dive into 64 ounces from zero. So make sure you give yourself plenty of time to get there. And you'll notice the change in your hunger cues as you start to increase your water. So you don't have to dive into 64 ounces immediately. Start where you are and then just start increasing by 8 ounces. I ended up having to put myself on a drinking schedule. I set alarms on my phone that I had to have this much done by this time, this much done by this time to make sure I would get it in because I was not a water drinker. So my brain wasn't like, remember, you're trying to drink water. I had to like set an external reminder to get me on track to drink the water because my brain was not going to offer up water as an option ever because I'd just never done it. So give yourself a little bit of patience. Elizabeth, I was going to mention that. Thank you so much. Take some Tupperware with you. And if you don't want it, take it, but don't eat it till you plan it. Yes, you're exactly right. And I also have, whenever I have gatherings here, I went to Sam's Club and I bought a whole like 473 to-go boxes. You know how they do at Sam's Club? And I have them. So if people ever do come over, and I can pack stuff up for them, or they can always have it to go. And then my Tupperware doesn't walk out the door with them for never to be seen again because it disappears. All right. So we are going to be coaching on basically, if we can, holiday weight loss. Food pushers, I would love, but it's really open coaching. So I will start calling on people. We are here for another hour. So I will coach as many as I can, as many as I can. So, Shelly, you are up first. Promote to panelists. Lee says, I love people with my locally famous pound cakes. Oh, am I local to you? Can we be local? This is my standard gift. I also tell them how to freeze it. She said, does this make me a food pusher? First of all, you're a food offerer. So you can offer it to someone and they can say no. But I do love that, like, if you don't want this right now, what a great level up. If you are a food pusher, give them instructions on how to freeze it. Oh my gosh. Like, I think that is wonderful. You go, Lee. I'll send you my address, email support, pmptribe.com. I love pound cakes. My grandmother used to, where are you from, Shelly?
I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota. So we make pound cakes here in the South. And my grandmother loves a sad pound cake. Have you ever heard of a sad pound cake?
No.
So when you make a pound cake, in order for it, you got to be light-footed. Don't open and close the oven. If not, it'll fall and it gets super dense in the middle.
Okay.
And so my grandmother loved sad pound cakes. And so she would always make enough batter for two of them. And the first one, she would open and close the oven, she'd be like, oh, it fell. I hate that. I got to make it. Guess I'm going to have to keep this. And she would eat her pound cake. She was like, I hate that it fell, but I can't give this out. I'll just keep this one.
I'll just eat this. Yeah. I'll take care of it.
When it's good. So I have eaten a lot of sad pound cakes in my life.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you're going to want to coach me or not, because it's not about holiday food pushers.
Go ahead.
It's open coaching. Okay. So my question for you is, I've been in no BS since like 2019 and lost and gained a little bit of weight. But I am now on Zepbound. I am really struggling, MJ, because I'm not hungry. Or like the first day I take my injection, like not hungry until dinner time, eat dinner. I plan my, candy, because it's been Halloween, have my piece of candy, have no food conversation in my head. And then I have been losing weight quickly.
Okay.
But what I find happening is by like yesterday and today, I'm hungry earlier because I take my shot on Tuesday, and I'm talking myself out of eating because of the fast weight loss that I've had. If that makes sense to you. So
yeah,
like,
for sure.
I've been fine. I've been not eating till dinner time, and I'm fine and I'm losing weight. And so I guess I'm looking for coaching. The other thing that I've done is I've taken away weightlifting, because my trainer will tell me you need to eat protein all day. And so I feel like I feel like I've messed up my brain.
I'm going to ask you this question for everybody on the call. How is it? How many of us, not on weight loss injections, right? And there are days we're not hungry. Just on the regular. This happened before you went on Zepbound. Maybe you didn't listen to it, but it did happen, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There are days you're not hungry and you weigh and the scale goes down. And then you start to get hungrier because we're humans, and some days we're more hungry. And then you're like, oh my God, if I eat when I'm hungry, then I'm not going to lose weight. It doesn't matter if you're on the shot or not. Same conversation.
Okay.
Same conversation. Same thing is happening here.
Okay.
Right? So true.
Right.
Because you've seen the scale go down. So you're like, oh, let's put this on repeat.
Yes.
This not eating things working well for me. Let me keep it going.
Yeah.
Same thing. Okay. So why would it be important for you to eat on those days?
Well, because I think when I think back to like, it feels like it actually doesn't feel like restriction, but it is, I think. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, I mean, I haven't yet done the binge from the restriction, because I know that binge restriction cycle. Right. Okay. So like, I haven't done that yet because on Tuesday I get another injection and then I'm like, oh, okay, I don't need to binge. So, but I do.
Why on the days that that you are hungry?
Would it be important for me
why
to do it?
Why would it be important to eat?
Because my body is telling me that I'm hungry.
Okay. It's a day you could put more protein on board.
It's a day I could put more protein on board.
Other days for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep. I think listening to my body is really important because I haven't listened to my body in the past. And so I feel like honoring that I am hungry would be an important thing because then I'm honoring myself and honoring, and then also knowing that it's, I guess one thing that is very clear is that when it's an emotional eat versus just truly being hungry right now. And so that's been really helpful. Like I have been like, oh yeah, I do want that whole bowl of Halloween candy, but really I'm not hungry and it's an emotional eat versus I can just plan that. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so we know about injections. I don't know a ton about, I mean, I've researched them as much as I can.
Yeah.
But at some point you'll notice that the shot maybe doesn't work as well. Or when you get to that highest dose and you've been on it for a while, you'll notice that the days of hunger, the chatter is still gone, but the days of hunger may increase.
Okay.
So the things that you're talking about building, those like building that relationship with hunger and trusting your body and listening to your hunger cues would be really important now when it's just a day or two versus maybe 3 or 4 days later down the line.
Right. So if I can build that now and really trust myself to be able to, okay, you're going to get to eat if you're, you know, it's not an emergency, but you're going to get to eat. So I'm not holding back. And then also you're going to know how much to eat would be helpful. Okay.
Okay. And so building that relationship is important. Increasing your protein, because we know with protein, like protein hair loss and all muscle waste, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to get in your protein on those days.
Yeah. Okay. That makes
and
sense.
And then how much are you losing a week?
Like last week, I lost probably 8 pounds.
Okay. What if you listen to your body and it slows down to 2 pounds a week?
Yeah. See, and that's where that old mindset comes in. Like, but I don't want to because it's going so fast.
Why do you want it to go so fast?
Well, because I want to lose, because I do have a goal. Because I'm going to a training in February and there's a high ropes course and there's a weight limit and I'm trying to get to that weight limit.
How much would you have to lose by February to get to the weight limit?
27 pounds.
Okay. So I'm on just rough math this because God bless America. MJ, hate math. February, the end of February?
The middle.
Middle. So we got 4 weeks in November, 4 weeks in December, 4 weeks in January, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 13, 14. That's 14 weeks at 2 pounds a week is 28 pounds.
You're right. You're right.
And nobody said you have to stop at 2 pounds, right?
Right. Yep.
But it's the fear of, I'm not going to make my goal. But the truth of the matter is 2 pounds a week gets you there.
I would get my goal. You're right. Yes. Yeah. And then I have a better relationship so I can continue it after that goal.
And you may still lose. I mean, there'll be weeks again that you won't lose any because doesn't matter if you're on Zepbound, Mounjaro, Wegovy, compounds, any of that stuff. There will be weeks that you lose weight. And there will be weeks that you don't lose weight.
Okay.
Some weeks your body will hang on to it for whatever reason.
Right. Right.
But that is not the point to restrict food.
Right. I know.
That is the point to build the relationship you want with food and yourself and with doable hunger.
Without all that other chatter. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So, and then I think that just means planning in a way that is more intentional in terms of like those days where I know that I'm.
Yeah, you know, Sunday and Monday are a little bit more hungry, so you put a little bit more food on your plan.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is usually just fine, and just, but also maybe having protein bars or something that I can have in case it does.
Yes. Protein. I was talking to my doc because y'all know I just found out I got the osteoporosis,
Oh no.
which is lovely. But my doctor talked to me about being protein forward. Being protein forward is very important to like if you like start your meal with protein and like when you're looking for that last bite when you know you're getting to enough, instead of getting mashed potatoes, get one more bite of meat. Like even if you ju just do, oh, that's good. Christy says prioritize protein. Great. Yeah. But it's like that last bite ends up being protein and the first bite is protein. Instead of the other stuff.
That makes sense. And that is kind of what I'm doing on even on those days where I'm not hungry. I usually look for chicken or the protein part at the end, like for my last bite too.
Yes. So that's perfect.
And then just be prepared with other things that I can have with me in case I'm hungry that are protein.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Barb says she makes overnight oats with protein shakes instead of milk.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And you know, I've been putting protein, a protein shake in my coffee as
Oh,
my
really?
creamer.
Oh, that's smart. That's
Yeah.
smart. Yeah,
Like
because
I
I do
got,
have
and so
protein
that
shakes.
gets you a little bit more protein. Are you in that, you know, we have the medical weight loss Facebook subgroup. Are you in there?
No, I'm not. I should get in there.
You
I'm not.
should and ask them for ways that they sneak protein in. 'Cause there's protein. I've seen people that are sprinkling protein powder on some of their foods. My girlfriend is actually caring for her mom right now, who just she broke her back and she moved
Oh
in with
gosh.
her. And she made her some mashed potatoes the other day and put protein powder on it because her mom's not eating much at all. And so, but her mom loves mashed potatoes, but you know, they're mashed potatoes. But she has added, she said every time she eats a little bowl, she's getting 20 grams of protein. She don't even know.
That's awesome.
And she stuck it in there. I thought that was a good idea. I was like, I didn't even think about that, but she's trying to increase her mom's. But if you go in that medical weight loss group, you can probably find people that are already sprinkling, you know, sprinkling stuff on top. I do at least once a week. Corinne loves that Lean Cuisine, Vermont cheddar, Lean
Oh
Cuisine.
yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
And I
Yep.
put a scoop of cottage cheese in with mine,
Okay.
just to increase, and it is high protein. And then I add protein to it. So there are ways. To get, you know, to get a little bit of extra protein in.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. And then, yep. And I just will keep working on thinking about it as I'm building my relationship with food, and
Yeah.
I'm trusting my body.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you.
so welcome, Shelley.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's the thing too. I mean, I want everybody to see, like, whether you're on the shots, because we, you know, we, of course, if you're on injections, welcome. Our doors are open to you. That's one thing it does not fix is these old thought patterns about I should lose weight faster and it needs to be quicker. I better not eat. I'm going to stall my weight loss. All of that stuff still comes. Those thoughts are so, we've thought them for so long, y'all. And it, the way I've been describing it, one of my friends is on them and she was like, it helps me put my fork down, but in between meals, the chatter is still strong. And I was like, such a great way to explain it, like hurting people's feelings, all this food pusher stuff. For those of you who are on injections, you literally can't have another bite. You really need to work on this food pusher stuff because it is going to come up. You're going to be eating less when you sit down to that Thanksgiving meal and really thinking about that now. I had a couple of hands up. Anyone else want to be coached? Lee said, oh, Lee does live near me in Greenwood. Girl, my daughter's at Clemson. Y'all could meet up. Isn't that close to Clemson, Greenwood? All right. Raise your hand if you want coaching. Let's coach about weight loss. Anything weight loss. Y'all cannot tell me y'all so good. Even if you're brand new and you're like, oh, hell, I don't know if I want to raise my hand. Raise your hand. I'll coach you on the basics, whatever you're working on. Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Don't do it all at once. Liz, come on. Y'all are quiet today. Oh, Emma's next. Thank you, Liz. Raise thy hand. Thank you, Karen fucking Brent.
Liz. Hey, oh, sorry, I'm so cloudy. Let's see if I can fix that. Sorry about that.
You're good. You're good.
Hey, MJ, it's great to talk with you. And I grew up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I love listening to you because your voice feels like home to me.
It does. Honey, my grandmama used to load me up, take me to Gaffney, to the Hamricks, and to the Stouffer's, you know, where you used to go get the Stouffer's, and we would take coolers and everything else.
Oh, yeah. We used to go shopping at the Yellow Mall there in Gaffney, too.
Yes, so. Honey. Like old home week on this call.
That's right. So I wanted to get your help with something and just a little background for me, just like one of the previous callers. Like, I've been a no BS woman since September of 2019, and I did really well with the program. Like, I took the first month just kind of listening to things and figuring things out. And then I jumped in and I lost like 40 pounds. I hit my goal and I stayed in maintenance for a couple of years. Okay. And, you know, like I went through perimenopause and I had like a little episode of depression there. So like I started kind of going back into eating some sugar and things, and I had some regains. But in general, actually, I developed a couple of really good habits from that first time. And so I've definitely had some successes. Like I totally do not drink alcohol at all now. And like I figured out like 100% of the time after I drink, like I'll get a headache the next day. So I just dropped that. And that's been great for me. And another thing is I got used to not, you know, eating desserts. And so like I have no taste for desserts. I think that they're too sweet. But my main issue, and it's going to sound funny to people, but it's sweet tea. So
welcome to the South.
I cannot for some reason give that up. So okay. You know, growing up, it was the house wine, and there are many days growing up that all I didn't even drink a drop of water. It was all sweet tea. And like intellectually, I know I need to like taper myself off of the sweet tea. It's not just the sugar, it's the caffeine. But actually doing it is a different matter. And I do find myself in the cycle of, okay, I can stay off of it for a week or two, but then I go back to it. And it is kind of a binge restrict type of cycle.
Okay.
So I wanted to get your advice.
Let's talk about leveling up sweet tea.
All right.
I love it. So you worried about the sugar and the caffeine?
Correct. Because it makes me not sleep well.
All righty. So what would happen if you got, because they do make decaf sweet tea.
Yes, I make it here at home. So I've tried to like not make sweet tea at home because that'll keep me from drinking it as much. But when I do make it here, I make the decaf.
Okay. But you're getting it out.
Yes. And really, it is a crazy thing for me, MJ. Like I go to fast food places. They like know me, right? They're like, how was your run this morning? Would you like a sweet tea? They give it to me for free, you know?
Okay. How could you level up when you go there?
Man, I would really love to just stop going there, right?
I mean, there's that. You could level it up, half sweet, half unsweet.
Yes, that's true.
I said good luck, because I'm going to tell you, I mean, Southerners here, I have leveled up to that.
Yeah, like I do well for a while with tapering. Now, I haven't done the, you know, half and half, but like I've gone from, let's say, 4 today to 3 tomorrow and keep going down, but eventually I just come back to it, you know.
How much water are you getting in?
You know, I don't do too badly. I mean, I'm not hitting my 64 ounces, but okay. I'm probably like 50 ounces.
Okay. So one of those sweet teas could be leveled up with my water is more important. I'm going to prioritize my water. Can I just skip this one sweet tea and get my water in, and then I'll have another sweet tea later?
Right.
And having that whole conversation, how does that feel?
Yeah, I think that's the thing is like sometimes when I start on the sweet tea, I think I kind of have an effort thing where I'm like, oh, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll be better tomorrow. And then I start, you know, it's
but
like.
That's what people deal with sweets or anything else. Then you've got to have a conversation with yourself.
Yes.
Like, what is your plan when that conversation comes up?
That's where I'm failing. Like, because if I start drinking it, it makes for urges later in the day, especially if I start at breakfast, then I'm going to hit a bad urge at lunch. And that's where I'm losing the conversation, I think.
Okay. So, how can you get rid of the morning sweet tea?
Yeah, that's definitely, I
Or
think
take a
as
to-go sweet tea that's decaf and have less sugar.
right. Yeah, you're right. I could just start making my own and taking it with me.
Yeah. And then when you pull up to the drive-thru, they're like, oh, hey, Liz, let me get you sweet tea. Girl, I got mine right here. I appreciate you, though.
Right, yeah. And see, that's the only reason I even go to the drive-thru. I don't actually get food.
Well, there you go. That's an easy fix if you just
Right.
always have some with you.
Right, yeah, that's true.
So, what if you got 16 ounces of water in before a sweet tea, or half sweet, half unsweet, less sugar, and start out with half decaf?
Right.
Make it yourself. 16 ounces of water. You could be like Uncle Si on the Duck Dynasty, just carrying his tea around all the time.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm probably kind of self-sabotaging because when I do drink it, I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? Right.
But why are you doing it?
I think I'm doing it for a couple of reasons. Like it's before I go to work, so it's kind of avoiding the stress of my day. Like when I go to work, it's going to be really super busy, and I do get a temporary increase in energy and concentration and those kinds of things.
Okay. Do you drink coffee?
I occasionally do. I'm not a daily coffee drinker, and when I
Okay.
get it,
So, like, your tea is like your coffee.
yes, and I get decaf coffee if I ever drink it, you know.
Okay. So why don't you try for 2 weeks only tea from home?
Got you. Okay.
And then if you're at work, you go into the office.
I do, and in fact, I travel a lot as well.
So what are you going to do when you travel?
You know, that's a good question because I'm leaving tomorrow on a trip.
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to Texas, so I bet they have sweet tea there.
I don't think they do.
Really?
I have been to Texas and it wasn't sweet. Where's my Texas people at? I don't think it's sweet.
You know, I mean, this is terrible,
I
but
think that's true.
really, sweet tea is a problem for me because I usually know where I can go to get it. Like, I will go for Chick-fil-A or I can go to McDonald's when I travel.
Oh, some do, some don't. The people from Texas have spoken.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. What happened? I mean, what about Splenda?
You know, I don't really like Splenda all that much. Like,
Why have you tried stevia, liquid stevia?
I've not tried liquid stevia. I found
Go today,
that.
get liquid stevia, get some unsweet
Okay.
and squirt it in there a little
Okay.
bit. It's actually pretty good.
Okay. Well, I can try that.
So try that and see. Go get you some today, make you some tea, see if you like it. It's less than 3 ounces. You can take it with you on the plane.
Okay, I can definitely do that.
Oh, Amy says Texas is the transitional state. Once you
Okay,
get
good
to
to
New
know.
Mexico and Arizona, it's all unsweet.
You know, I went to Arizona a couple of weeks ago and I found some. I went to IHOP.
Oh yeah. But try that and see. And then I've done this with my private clients with like Pepsis and Cokes and Diet Cokes and different things. It's actually what's worked for my private clients in the past when I've done it with them, because I had one Diet Coke. God love her. I swear I didn't think we'd ever get her off of the Diet Coke. But it was, she would have Diet Coke and then she had to have a water goal in the middle.
Okay.
And then it was like another Diet Coke and then a water goal.
Okay.
And she actually got to where she was drinking the mini Cokes, mini Diet Coke. So we started out with like a 16 ounce or what I think they're 20 ounce now, like screw on lid bottles. Then she went to the can and then she finally did end up like in between her waters. She was having less. So you can do the same if you're taking a 40 ounce cup with sweet tea,
Right.
then you level it up to a smaller cup and then you can level it up to a smaller cup.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think you've given yourself enough option. I mean, you know, I think in the it's like sweet, I either have sweet tea or I don't have sweet tea.
I think you're right because I get very disappointed in myself when I start drinking. I say I'm going to quit and I don't quit. And I think it's just a mental thing, you know.
It's the same thing that we talk about with alcohol or candy or any of that stuff. You want to work on your relationship with it. It doesn't mean that you're going to cut it out of your life completely. You just want a different relationship with it.
Right.
And so the first thing you want to do for anybody on this call, if you're working on your relationship with anything, like cats, Diet Coke girl, decide what the relationship is. Like at the end of this, all these level ups, where do I want to land? Do I just want to have it from home and not get it from out? Do I only want to have it at home, but then I want it out if I'm at a restaurant, and only then will I get half sweet and half unsweet at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does it look like?
Gotcha.
That's like setting a goal, like, you know, a weight loss goal or a goal for anything else. You got to know where you're going to even take the first step. What do I, at the end of the day, want this to look like? And then you start up, like, what would be the first tiny step that I'm going to say, this is not good enough to get myself there? Because if you don't do that, you do that all or nothing. Well, now I've had sweet tea. I guess I'm going to drink sweet tea all day, and I'll start tomorrow. And then you never make a step towards it.
Right.
But if you take a step that feels super doable, like, I'm going to, you know what? At least my first cup is always going to be from home. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, half sweet, half unsweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at least going to get myself that far.
Right.
And then that's your goal for the day. So then even if you drink three more later, it's like, but I made my goal of this one today. I brought from home, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it's like the next goal could be, I'm going to drink 16 ounces of water before I have my tea, only from home. And then that's the next level up. And then the next level up could be, I'm going to drink my water before, and then I'm only going to drink water, and I can have my next one after lunch, mm-hmm. if that feels doable.
Mm-hmm.
And you level it up like that instead of good or bad, or like I'm on or I'm off. How does that sound?
That makes sense. It's something I can definitely try. And I think my long-term goal would be either just to become a water drinker, or I'm definitely open to just fully, you know, decaf and stevia sweetened, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Just get a couple of different sweeteners and try it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
See what you like, you know, just see what you like.
Right.
I mean, fully decaf and a sweetener. Hell, that's water, girl.
Right.
I mean, but if that's the truth.
Right.
You know, somebody said Mio has the sweetener, like the drops, the squirty drops. You could try that. See if you like it. You might like it. You may love it.
Gotcha. Okay.
You may love it. All right. Try it and see.
I will definitely. Thank you so much.
All righty.
In person.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
That was so good. Because that really deciding where you're going to go, and then those little steps to get there, works for candy, works for wine, works for Diet Coke, works for sweet tea, all of it. Girl, and our sweet tea in the South, my Mimi used to, it's like syrup coming out the thing. Emma. Like syrup. I love the more organic stevia. It's great. Get it from Walmart or Amazon.
Hello,
Emma. How's it going?
Sorry. It looks I'm good. It looks like I'm not looking at you though, because the camera's
You're good.
Over.
Look wherever it looks convenient for you.
Okay.
Where are you from? First, where are you from, Emma?
England.
She's from England.
So I live in Birmingham. Yeah, I'm from Blackburn, which is like North England.
I have one of my best friends and No BS Women are in England right now.
Are they? Where are they?
On a holiday. I have no idea. In England.
Okay.
I don't know. Yep. So, all right. What are we coaching on?
I'm going on holiday, and I can't decide what my strategy should be. So I think I've got a few options. One is to go, well, what I want to do, ideally, what I would do is I would go and I would eat absolutely everything to excess and come back the same weight. That would be perfect, but I don't think that that's possible. So,
Yeah, I'm like, that does not how that works. But okay, go
no,
ahead.
I don't think that that's not a possible option. So I keep weighing up and I keep on flip-flopping and going back and forth about whether I want to go and enjoy myself. I've never been to where we're going before. There's going to be loads of great food and just like write the week off and then deal with the gain and it'll all be fine because it will be fine. It has been before and the weight will come back off and da da da
Okay.
da.
And that is a way
Or
to work it for sure. Yeah.
so that's one option. Or my second option is to do what I did the last time I went away, which is be really, really intentional, mindful, and the rest of it, and did enough every time we ate out and came back. And it was like a couple of pounds up, which just dropped off straight away, which was really good. But like they didn't have as much exciting food where we went over the summer. So I can't, and I just can't, and I am spending a lot of time thinking, oh, you should do that, no, you should do the other, no, what do you want? What do you want long term? What do you want short term? And I just can't decide. And I thought, well, I may as well ask you, what, how do I decide?
Okay. So, did you overeat on your last vacation?
Not really, no.
So, when you're eating to excess, how does that feel? You said, I want to eat to excess. Like, tell me physically how you feel after you've eaten to excess.
Don't these days I don't really tend to I don't go beyond full because I don't like it. So there is a like I very rarely finish a plate when I go out because I just don't like the way it sits on my body. But I definitely go past enough.
Okay,
So
so,
there's
but
like
this is way different. The way you're describing it now is so different. So we
okay.
have got like enough, and then we have physically full, and then we have excess, into excess, which excess to me is until I'm emotionally happy that I've had enough food on this plate, I am probably, like, woo, girl. Like that to me is excess. So you're talking about, which, and it sounds like, you act like it sounds like this terrible thing, but what you're actually talking about is I want to eat till full. Okay. Which is
Maybe.
way different, right? Than ex it, to me, in my brain, it sounds way different. So, do you think that every meal, 3 meals a day, forever, how many days, are going to be so amazing that you want to eat till full?
I've got a strategy for breakfast, so I've gone through it in the way that I think you're sort of suggesting there. So breakfasts on my last not my last holiday, but the holiday before, what I did is I had just
Uh-oh, she froze. You're frozen a little bit.
same as I assumed. That was absolutely thought get really excited about. Oh, sorry.
Okay,
Am
so at
I here?
breakfast, yeah, you're here. What happened at breakfast? Tell me.
It was fine. I just had what I have at home usually, so fruit, yogurt, granola, done. No drama, and that was okay. So then it's just lunch. So am I going to want to eat to full at lunch and dinner? No, probably not. And I'm quite happy with making a like having a strategy of a salad a day as well. I know I can do that. And that's like that. I don't eat past enough when I'm eating a salad because it's just, it just goes on forever and ever and ever. So,
Okay, so all right. So how many days are you gonna be gone?
7.
7 days, that's 21 meals. So we're talking about 14 that you're contemplating eating to full. And then 1 meal a day, you're gonna eat a salad, you'll eat it to enough. So you're talking about 7 times eating to full. Is this really a problem?
Well, it's that it will put me it's I think it's because, sorry, I'm not getting my sentences out at all. The problem I'm having is I I'm like, I want to be at XY by the end of the year. And if I can maybe achieve that if I take, like, eat enough at every single meal whilst I'm away, it won't have that big an impact on that goal. But I think if I am eating to full, and then probably having, I don't drink a huge amount, but I'll probably have a few drinks whilst I'm there, you know, let's have some cocktail, it's my birthday, etc. But that's going to impact my ability to reach that goal on time when I want to.
Okay. Is it bothersome enough that you would say, I only want to eat till full 3 times on this vacation?
Oh, okay.
Instead of 7?
Right. So there's like a middle ground.
Yes. Right.
Right, yeah.
There's that.
Right. So instead of, yeah, right. Or, right, yeah. Instead of all or nothing, I could just, yeah. 3. 3 sounds, so that's like every other day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And the other thing too is you get to make the decision when you sit down at dinner and you put this food in your mouth. Where are you going that has this amazing food?
Oh, Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. I love Mexico. Okay. So you sit down. Mm-hmm. First of all, do they give chips in Mexico? I know I've gotten chips in Mexico before. I don't think they give them like they do here in the U.S. But anyway, you can decide. First of all, it's easy to get a salad in Mexico because they have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. So you're okay there. And the other thing too is they do serve some smaller portions. Like their tacos are not like American. It's smaller portions. So you get to try different things. And then when you go in, when you take that first bite, ask yourself, is this velvet rope worthy?
Okay.
Is this worth eating to full?
Yeah.
Or is this another whatever, just like, I feel like it tastes very similar to what I get in the UK.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't because I think our Mexican food's absolute shite. But
you know, is it amazing enough that I'm willing to say, if this gives me a pound, girl, I'm all in. I want to eat this to full. Because I bet you, this, I used to have this on my refrigerator all the time. And this will be a great question for you. Is this worth the time it will take me to lose the weight?
Yeah.
Is this that good? I'm going to let it into my velvet rope, my full velvet rope on vacation. And sometimes the answer will be yes, 100%. This is something that I will talk about 3 months from now, how amazing this thing was. Like I went to see Adele in the last year, about a year ago, with my daughter in Vegas. And right across from Caesar's Palace where she played, I don't even know the name of the place, they had an almond croissant. And it was, my daughter and I talk about it at least once a week. Oh my God. It's the greatest thing I've ever put in my mouth. So my accountability partner went to see Adele last night in Vegas. And I was like, listen, when you get there, I am telling you, you have got to go to this place. It's right across from the entrance and get this almond croissant. We have talked about it nonstop. She was like, oh my God, it was way better than what you even described. That's the greatest thing I've ever put in my mouth. That's the kind of food that you let in. I'm still talking about it a year later. And I'm telling my friend, you have to have this thing.
Yeah.
It was worth it. I don't know if it had made me gain 10 pounds, it would have still been worth it. It was that good.
Yeah.
So you use that kind of discernment. Is this good enough that if I'm up there and if I'm there, I will talk about this a month from now. I will tell my friend about it when I get back to England.
Yeah, that's a good sort of, I can't think of the word, but like a...
Yeah. This is remembrance worthy.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is to get back from vacation. What none of us want is to get back from vacation, see the scale up 4 or 5 pounds, be like, what the fuck did I even eat?
Yeah.
And you can't even come up with what was so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
I will tell you, the tortillas, you can watch them make them, press them from scratch. They are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just awesome in Mexico.
Every time I, not that I'm getting distracted by the charts, but food poisoning keeps on popping up. So I'll have to go back and have a look at that.
Yeah. Don't drink the water.
All right. Okay.
It will make you sick. Even ice. You have to remember ice is made from water. Yeah. So be careful. But what I found? You drink enough margaritas. Take care of that.
That's why we're going.
Yeah. No. Problem solved. Yeah. 64 ounces of margarita a day is doable. If you work hard enough. No, I'm just kidding. Just have fun. Okay. Enjoy yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Bye. All right. Oh, gosh. I can't. You know, I'm left-handed, but the world is not. The world is right-handed. And so I've always used my mouse on the right hand, and I've done all this other stuff. So even though my surgery is on my right arm and I can use my left arm, like, my computer and stuff is always set up for a right-handed person. So I'm struggling. Yes, Lizzie's a lefty too. We have a bunch of left-handers. We are in our right minds. Isn't that right? Ha, 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 ha. Karen said, I live in Vegas and would love to know where to get the croissant. I'm going to tell you, going to Caesar's Palace, where Adele is playing, where the big thing is, and then turn around like that, and it's right there. That's the place. It's right there at the entrance of where Adele is. That's where it is. And it is, I mean, oh God, it's the best. Let's see. All right. Miss Kevin Flores. Let us promote to panelists. At least we got people to raise their hand. I love coaching. I'm glad people raise their hand.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Do you like to be called Miss Kevin Flores, or do you have another name that we can call you?
Well, my name is Kevin, and I'm definitely a Ms. So,
oh my gosh.
I always, when I go into new situations, I try to put the Ms. out there so people aren't expecting.
I love that. So where did you get that? Is your dad named Kevin?
No. The story is, my mother grew up as a campesino, a farm worker in the Central Valley of California. So she was surrounded by the Mexican culture. My father was from New Mexico, came into the Bay Area. He went down to the Central Valley area to school, brought her up to the Bay Area. And the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, that area, in those days had a very large Irish culture community. Mm-hmm. So my mom said she read the name Kevin and she liked it. And she didn't know. She had never been exposed.
I love that story so much.
Oh, thank you.
That is amazing. I love to hear people's stories. Okay.
So my sister's name is Kelly.
Kelly Kevin?
Yeah, I'm Kevin. She's Kelly. So, you know, Irish twins, like they say.
Oh my gosh. That, I love people. That is so awesome.
Yeah. So I've met a few Kevins along the way, female Kevins. So, and we're like, hugging each other.
Yeah. So, I know. It's like my kids have Persian names, Layla, Lita, and Mina. And so they always, if they meet somebody that has their name, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I'm here to talk about my struggle with accepting what my logical brain, I will say, thinks needs to be done for me to succeed.
Okay.
So, I was in a very difficult relationship and I wound up gaining too much weight. Okay. I went on Weight Watchers in 2019 and lost 50 pounds.
Okay.
And I was very rigid with myself. And then when life threw me too many curveballs, I gained it back. So then I'm realizing, okay, Kevin, you know what to eat, you know how much to eat, yet when you don't know how to handle the emotional issues. Mm-hmm. So while I was on Weight Watchers, I was listening to Corinne's podcasts, which were very helpful. And then last summer, in the beginning of June with the summer special,
yeah.
I I joined No BS. So since then, I've lost maybe 5 pounds, and that's okay because I'm practicing habit stacking, and I'm building better habits than I had before. Yet I hear Corinne speak to taking the time to work on specific issues, like writing stuff out, analyzing it. And it sounds amazing. And my logical brain says yes. And then I just haven't found.
Are we talking about planning here, Kevin?
No, not so much planning, but the other, like the workshop that Corinne did last week, she talked about analyzing your behavior. Like okay. If you find yourself doing something, taking the time to analyze it and write through it and dissect it,
okay.
And that sounds great. And yet I think it would be helpful for me. And yet I just.
Well, here's the thing, Kevin. Have you done discovery worksheets?
I've done one or two. Yes.
That's okay. So you can sit down with a blank sheet of paper and analyze yourself, or you can let us help you and do a discovery worksheet. It's basically guided analyzing is what she's talking about. You don't have to just pull it out your ass. You can literally, we will help you. We'll guide you through it as you're learning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to show you. I have my binder here. So I printed out the 60-day journal like 3 months ago. So I think I'm maybe on day 10.
Well, let's start there, right? Because that's what's going to bring up your excuses. Mm-hmm. When you write your plan and you're not following it, that's when the excuses come up, but we need to work on getting you planning before we can work on a lot of excuses. So we need to work on your excuses about planning first.
Oh, I see. So I have something to compare it to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to get something to get going, right?
Right.
So it's time to write your plan. You've got the binder is right there.
Right.
You could not have made it easier on yourself. So you wake up in the morning and it's time to plan. What do you tell yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been telling myself I don't have to plan. I don't need to plan because I have been doing food prep. So I have for the breakfast and lunch, I have healthy, reasonable amounts of food that I'm, and by healthy, I mean less carbs, less sugar.
Okay.
Taking to work. So I have the morning time breakfast and lunch together. I'm beginning to recognize, especially in the afternoon when work comes at me with stress, how I want to grab, the other morning. Oh my God. I started to work on my bills. I was home and I like crunchy things with my meal. So I'll have a little chips or crackers. Right. So I finished my meal. I was working on bills. It started to stress me out. I grabbed a handful of chips. I had chips here. I stuck one in my mouth and I was just like, oh, F, holy shit. I put it in there just for stress, just to like.
Here's what I want you to work on, Kevin. Here's your problem. I've heard it twice now. You said you worked on the bills and the bills stressed you out.
Uh-huh.
You notice you want to grab something in the afternoon and work is stressing you out.
Right, right.
None of that is happening because in order, the way you're describing it, to fix your problem, you've got to quit work and never pay bills again. Which could be fun.
Where's that damn
that could be fun.
No ticket.
See what happens. Bills do not stress you out.
Mm.
It is what you think about the bills that creates the stress.
Mm.
When she's talking about analyzing, that's what you're analyzing.
Okay.
So when you notice your stress increasing, you're like, okay, what am I thinking right now? So what'd you think when you did the bills the other day?
Oh, that there just wasn't going to be enough, that it was going to be difficult.
Okay. So there's not enough money. It's going to be difficult. What mm-hmm. could you have said in that moment? I'm not saying we're getting rid of stress. I'm saying we're going to turn the temperature down on it so that you're not reaching for a cracker or a chip.
Mm. What could I say? I could say, don't worry, Kevin, you're not going to starve.
Okay.
Don't worry, Kevin.
It could be, probably, it could be your best thought, could be you tell yourself this every month, and every month you make it work.
Right. Oh, I see what I see. I tell myself you panic and then I figure it out.
You do this every month. It is normal that your brain is going here.
That's true, because I'm still here.
You always make it work.
I'm still here. It hasn't failed yet.
That is the work.
Okay, so I have to remind myself that I'm capable of getting through it.
Yes.
Without a phony support. The food is a phony prop.
Right. Because here's the thing. Probably what happens is you take the bite of food and you are like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. Because the food gives you the pause in order to get to the next best thought. What we want to do is get to the next best thought without the food.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So some of that, if you know bills trigger you to have all these thoughts that create the stress.
Okay.
Before you sit down to do the bills, you just take 5 minutes to breathe and remind yourself of what is certainly fixing to happen.
Right.
You're going to sit here and you're going to look at these numbers and you're going to freak out like you do every single month.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell yourself there's not enough, but here's the truth. You have figured it out every time.
And I think I'm channeling my mother, because my mother was a depression baby.
Yeah.
And she just, oh my God, if you wasted a penny, the world was collapsing.
Right. Remind yourself of that as well.
Yeah, that it's okay. My mom survived. I can survive.
I do it every month.
I actually, for someone, I've done okay. I'm working. I bought my home, blah, 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 right? I have positive things.
Yes.
But
when you tell yourself it's the bills that create the stress, the only way to get out of it is to get rid of the bills.
Get rid of the bills. Yeah, ignore them.
But then you have no power. So then you're like, well, I got to eat to get through this insurmountable hot mess I've got going on.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So.
And then do the same thing with that work stress. It's coming every afternoon.
Right. It's coming.
It's coming every afternoon. What thoughts are you having about the afternoon that create this feeling of stress that has you run in to get something?
Right. I don't even, when it comes to work, I think I'm afraid I'm going to fail and not complete my job as it needs to be completed.
And that's when you tell yourself, I tell myself this every afternoon.
That's true. And
every afternoon, I complete my job.
I do the best I can.
I do the best I can, which apparently is good enough because I'm still sitting here having a job.
Well, the monitors and the auditors haven't come yet. So after they come, we'll see. The last person who failed the monitor, because I work for what they call an NGO, a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we receive government grants, so government funding. So we're heavily monitored. And I took this job a year and a half ago. It wasn't my area of expertise. I had had some experience in it. And my boss asked me to take it because he knew I had this experience and he trusted me. So it's been an incredible learning curve. And I'm really concerned about what happens when those auditors and monitors come in. Because the last lady who failed, she was fired. And actually, if I'm fired, I will survive too, because I can collect my Social Security.
Girl.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. You're saying, let the script run, because I think what happens, get that first.
But you've got to do it ahead of time. So before you pay the bills, you need to calm yourself down, knowing the thoughts are coming. Remind yourself of what is going to happen. Because these are things you're going to know. You know it's coming every day. It's not shock.
Right.
Like, damn, why did you show up stressed? Oh, I know, because you showed up every other day.
Right. Instead of just wishing it away.
Yes.
Wishing it away, or or just trying to I'm usually like a plow through it. And I can plow through it a couple times without eating, and then all hell will break loose and I'll eat for a week, I swear.
Because that is where white knuckling is. You are still feeling that extreme stress, and you've only given yourself one way to solve it, which is food. And then you take away the one thing that's going to make you feel better. And of course you can't make it through.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Girl, don't I know I am? You took away the one thing to make you feel better. And then for days you feel stressed and stressed and stressed until you can't take it anymore. And then you eat.
Right. Right.
What I'm saying is, let's work on the conversation.
And so I need to talk myself through it. And I need to give myself a pep talk.
And go to Kathy's, go back and listen to Coach Kathy's, how to feel the hard stuff without eating.
Right.
Because stress is the hard stuff. And you don't want to eat.
I really enjoyed Kathy when her and Corinne would do the podcast together. They were really good together.
That is how it works. You've got to work on that conversation to turn the level down on the stress.
Turn the level down on my stress and open my brain to different options.
Other things that may be true, which I love what you came up with. So what if I get fired? I can take Social Security.
Shit. I take Social Security. I can rent a room and life will continue.
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
And figure out, write that plan. Because here's the thing. When you hear the excuse, I have the same thing breakfast and lunch, well, then it should make it way easy for me then.
That's true, huh?
That the reason of the plan, my biggest thing about the plan was it showed me that I could keep a promise to myself. Because I'd be danged, I could keep a promise to myself, to everybody else, but not myself. And I was determined to show myself that I could have my own back.
Yeah, and going through this process, I mean, first with Weight Watchers and all my life experience, and then here I am. It's been like, oh, Kevin, it takes you 65 years to figure out how to take care of yourself. And I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Just like, damn.
Well, because life keeps happening. Things keep happening. You have to pivot and adjust all the time.
That's true. That's true.
All righty. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. I'll talk with you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anonymous has a great question in the chat, so I want to address it because this happens to so many of us. My joints have been hurting. I feel fluffy and decided to try 10 days eating clean, no gluten, high processed carbs, and see how I feel. How can I think about doing this in a way that feels good versus restrictive? So again, we're going to create the story ahead of time, right? This is not forever. It's like having on that lab coat. It's a 10-day experiment. If it works, great. I'll work on something then. If it doesn't work, then I'm going to know that I need to do something else. It's going to be a lot of can I just. I know I want to eat this, bread, I don't know, whatever, carbs right now. Can I just this one meal, eat this other thing and see how I feel? And when you hear, I want this and I want this and I want this and I wish I could have that, I can have it. I can eat it, but right now I'm in a 10-day experiment with myself. I want to see how I feel. I want to see how I can love my body. I want to see how I can take care of myself. I want to see how this feels. Because the truth is, restriction comes from, I can't have, I better not have, you shouldn't eat. That's where the feeling of restriction is. So a lot different when the conversation is, girl, you can 100% have it. You can eat it if you want to, but right now we're trying something for 10 days. I owe 10 days to myself. I bet I can do this for 10 days. Just see how I feel. And then Carolyn says, do I have a favorite Adele song? I do. So last night, my friend got to hear her sing To Make You Feel My Love, which is a remake. But I love to hear her sing it. She only done it like 4 times since she's been on tour. And my friend heard it last night. It was so sad. But my favorite song is I Drink Wine. I mean, what else would it be? It's MJ. I Drink Wine. It's my favorite Adele song. I even have a t-shirt. I bought a t-shirt that says I drink wine. All right. We're going to get out of here on time today. Today. I am doing legacy coaching in an hour. Everyone is welcome to come to legacy coaching. But we ask that only people who have been active consecutively for 365 days in OBS raise their hand to be coached. So come back in an hour if you would like. If you're in legacy or if you just want to come listen in, you're welcome to do that. If you're new, a reminder, go listen to the No BS Weight Loss course. Don't forget, you can listen to it on podcast as well. Anyone else have any questions right quick before we get out of here? All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day. Go be amazing. And I will talk to y'all later. See some of you in an hour. Bye, y'all.